You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Our great country and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people. They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation. They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead of our great country.
February the 6th, 2020. President Trump this morning at the prayer breakfast, the national prayer breakfast. When he walked out on the stage, he picked up a paper and held it up. USA Today headline, the Trump across the top of his picture, acquitted. And of course, that vote took place yesterday after we finished. And I told you, as it would take place yesterday afternoon, it was going to be an acquittal for the president. And I could have told you then that Mitt Romney was going to vote to find the president guilty, but I thought I'll hold off on that just in case Romney wakes up. He did not. But what you have seen by him voting to find the president guilty of these charges issued in the impeachment order from the House is they are now claiming, see, we had bipartisan support. You had one, count him, one Republican, Mitt Romney. That's your bipartisan support to find the president guilty. And still fell way short of the two-thirds needed. President Trump mentioning, as you heard in that bite, how he's had himself and the nation targeted. He had also mentioned family. They were targeted throughout this indecent, improper, unethical, illegal process. And, of course, friends and associates got it targeted along the way. And then the president, with Nancy Pelosi sitting not too far from him and referencing also Mitt Romney's decision to vote to convict the president, President Trump made this remark.
I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that that's not so.
That is a specific reference from Nancy Pelosi saying, I'm a Christian woman, I pray for the president. His belief is she doesn't, or she is praying, it's not for his good health. I don't know, I'll stay to the side on that. That's between her and God when you get down to it. And if she wants to use that phrase as to protect herself and build a shield around her when she knows it's false, again, that's between her and God, and I think God will know that. Trump is not a pastor by any stretch of the imagination. We didn't elect him to be a pastor. He's crude, he's crass, and in many times I think he's done things he shouldn't have, and he should have kept his mouth shut in other cases. But he's calling this very clear and direct. And the same thing for Romney, who said that I prayed extensively about this when the president said, I don't like people using that as a crutch. What we've had, of course, now is this entire debacle. And you know what the lasting image is going to be when this is all said and done? The lasting image that's going to be encapsulated for what happened with this impeachment? Mitch McConnell, Senator McConnell, will tell you.
The speaker tearing up the president's speech. How childish and petty is that? What kind of example is that set for the American people about how we ought to conduct ourselves? I mean, have we forgotten how to be civil to each other? Particularly when we're in Congress, sitting together, not out on the campaign trail, not at rallies, but at least among ourselves, we ought to be able to disagree and not behave like a bunch of children.
But that image will persist. Not on the mainstream media. They'll make it disappear. But we'll keep it up in front of you. And if you think the impeachment is over, get ready for another effort to impeach President Trump. A little bit later, before we finish today, Romney will explain what he can't explain. And a father arrested because he did not want his son exposed to LGBT lessons at school. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with the railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with the railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with the railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is not over. They're going to come after him again. They're going to call Bolton. They'll try to do something between now and the election.
That is Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. He said it as direct as you can say it. This is not over. They're going to try to do something between now and the election. Now you're thinking, well, it's already been done. I mean, he's found innocent. He's been acquitted. He's not guilty of the crimes that they tried to charge him with. Abuse of Congress. Abuse of Congress, obstruction of Congress. And abuse of power. Neither of which are defined in the Constitution. Which makes Mitt Romney's decision to go with the leftists even stranger. Because somehow or another he got convinced that, that fits the Constitution. I want to spend more time on Romney in the next hour because this is a guy that, well, I've got mixed feelings about him. I'll get into that a little bit later. But here's Senator Graham saying it is not over. We can't have our country back yet because they're not finished, because they're going to fight the rest of this term and for the 4 years that's going to follow. Senator Schumer. Senator Schumer, here's his statement. He was asked about this acquittal vote and asked, would this put the impeachment to bed? Will you guys be done with it? This is the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York. He said, look, this idea we've had too many impeachments, too few impeachments, the standard should not be how many or what's politically right or wrong. Give me a break. What's politically right or wrong? That shouldn't be the question. That's what you're hinging your entire case on. But he goes on to say it should not be what's politically right or wrong. The standard should be, did the president commit high crimes and misdemeanors? Which, again, he did not, and you guys fabricated something and said it was. I'm sorry, I keep detracting myself from the Schumer statement. Let me go back to it again. This is Senator Schumer saying, the standard should be, did the president commit high crimes and misdemeanors? I think it's conclusive that the president did. And then Senator Schumer adds this. And if the president does it in 3 months, they should impeach him again. There you go. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. In the criminal justice system, don't you have protections? I mean, you cannot be tried for the same crime twice. I mean, that's double jeopardy, right? I mean, doesn't double jeopardy come into play? Well, that question was raised and addressed today by Judge Napolitano, an analyst for Fox News.
Congressman Schiff was asked yesterday if his committee is going to subpoena John Bolton. Now, why would these committees be talking about subpoenaing witnesses whom they didn't subpoena last time after the president has been acquitted?
Right.
Because there is no double jeopardy protection. Stated differently, they could impeach him again if they want, notwithstanding the political fallout, which I think would be horrific, for the exact same offense with the exact same evidence and perhaps more evidence. If I rob a bank and I'm found not guilty, and then the government finds more evidence that I was guilty, they still can't charge me again. But for impeachment, there is no double jeopardy protection. I'm sorry to tell this to the president at this hour of the morning after his triumph yesterday, but that's the law.
But there's practical political protection.
Profound political protection. I can't imagine, cannot imagine, that there is an appetite for this anywhere in the country except in certain deep pockets, which do not dominate in the House of Representatives.
But that's going to be interesting because he's saying, yeah, in the political world, they see that we could go full steam again. Before we wrap up this hour, I want to take you back to some remarks from James Carville, who was the mastermind behind the Bill Clinton campaign and getting him elected. He already sees trouble on the horizon inside the Democrat ranks, much less what they're trying to do now. And you're going to hear him say, you guys, in his Louisiana Cajun accent, you guys don't get it. You're not doing what we need to be doing. You're not relevant. You're trying to, you just keep going down there. You're going these wacky doodle things. That's my impression of Carville. You'll hear from him a little bit later. But his point being that maybe it's time to let the sleeping dog lie. But no, there are factions inside the Democrat Party that will continue to push it. Do you think Nancy Pelosi would join that train again? Probably wouldn't want to, but do you imagine folks like AOC and the others aren't going to begin pushing that button again? Well, let's say this. Let's say they decide to re-ramp. Let's put it all back together. And this time, let's get Bolton in here. And let's do this and let's do that. And maybe this time we'll truly bring the whistleblower in. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we'll suggest it. Maybe we'll hint it. Maybe we'll act like we're going to, so the Republicans will be shaking in fear. They're not going to be shaking in fear, the Republicans. And certainly President Trump is not going to be shaking in fear. This vote yesterday, the only party defection from the Republicans was Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. And yet you're going to hear the Democrats say, we had a bipartisan support to impeach the president, but we fell short of the actual votes. They may not even add the last part. They may just simply say, we had bipartisan support to impeach. Bipartisan support is one Republican senator, Mitt Romney. A lot of the swing votes they were counting on, Murkowski of Alaska, Collins of Maine, Alexander of Tennessee, all three Republicans, they voted to acquit on both counts. The final vote, as it was done late yesterday afternoon, 52-48 against convicting on the abuse of power charge, 52-48. 53-47 against conviction on the obstruction charge. So the most they got was 48 to convict on the abuse of power charge, and conviction of obstruction charge fell short by one vote from 48. But they actually fell 19 to 20 votes short of what they needed. They needed a 67-vote supermajority to convict and remove the president. Well, I can see what their next play would be. That's kind of like losing the election this last time around. The Electoral College, let's revamp the Electoral College. Let's get rid of the Electoral College. I cannot wait for some member of Congress to come forward and say, let's rewrite this and say instead of a two-thirds vote, that if we get 48 votes, we can convict and remove the president. You watch. You want to continue this fight? Senator Lindsey Graham says, all right, then maybe it's time that we begin to push our points and put some of your people in the witness stand.
All I can tell you is that we're going to look at Hunter Biden. We're not going to live in a world where you take a wrecking ball to the Trump family and you can't ask Hunter Biden, oh, by the way.
You're going to call him?
The Foreign Relations Committee will. I hope they should. Jim Risch, if you're listening, you need to ask John Kerry's chief of staff, what did you do about the email when you were told that there was a conflict of interest? I'm going to call everybody who signed the FISA warrant. I hope Richard Burr will tell us who the whistleblower is. And was the whistleblower working with political operatives on Schiff staff? I don't know. Let's look. I know this. If a Republican had done this, they'd be looking at us. I want to know who was the whistleblower. What was their motivation? Did they have a political bias? Were they working with people who wanted to take Trump down early on in his presidency? I'm going to call everybody who signed the FISA warrant. The Foreign Relations Committee has jurisdiction over the State Department. How did they ignore Hunter Biden's conflict of interest? And just think about it. When Joe Biden was talking to the Parliament of the Ukraine, you need to end sweetheart deals. Don't you think they were laughing at him?
I think they were. I think Senator Graham's right. That Ukraine was laughing at Joe Biden. And laughing even now. But Graham's made it clear. If you want to get back in the ring, if you think you can get back in the ring and continue to throw fake punches at this president and this nation and use this nation as your bully pulpit to try to rewrite an election and damage the next election, you're not going to get by with it again. And you know, here's something else Graham did not bring up that I if he's going to carry forward, and he will, and others will too. I mean, if they don't, we should be raising holy hell out here in the rest of the land. Do not let the Democrats have that shot again without paying a price for it. They're going to pay it already. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. They're going to pay it on a political basis, but I want to see some people behind bars. Now, you heard Graham said, we're going to take a look at everyone that was involved in those FISA warrants. Do you remember, of course, when the Inspector General Horowitz released his review last year? It was so disturbing that the judge of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court at that time sent word to the FBI, said, I want this cleaned up. I want to see some things right now you're going to do to correct what took place. Because the court got duped. And FBI Director Christopher Wray suddenly rushed forward and said, well, we've already taken 20 different actions. 20? Actually, he said, I've already ordered more than 40 corrective actions. He said, I've gone above and beyond in outlining what should be changed, can be changed, and can provide accountability, rigor, and discipline. Originally, he was saying we did about 20. But now he's saying, I've already ordered more than 40. And Ray, in testifying before a House Judiciary Committee, said the failures highlighted in the Inspector General report are unacceptable, period. And they cannot be repeated. He said specifically, the Foreign Intel Surveillance Act warrant against former Trump campaign aide Carter Page were, quote, unacceptable and cannot be repeated. He said, I do not think anyone has carte blanche to bypass rules, and I tend to make it painfully clear that is unacceptable at the FBI today. Today. There's a key phrase, my friend. because at the time Trump was being elected and then was elected, and the way it was being run at that time under Comey, McCabe, Agent Smurf, and his lover, Lisa Page, and the rest of them, the attitude and the approach then was, we can do what we want. We are the FBI. And they did. And they lied. Somebody has to be held accountable. Somebody's got to be put in jail. And when you start listing those who should go to jail for this, how high up will that go? Now, you know they immediately came down on some low-level ranking agent and our lawyer for some of these FISA mistakes. Do you think that person's going to sit quietly, or are they going to roll over? Do they want to go to jail for Agent Smurf, McCabe, and Comey, and others? I wouldn't think so. Wouldn't think so. So Graham says, let's turn the dogs loose. You want to come in here again? We're coming after you. And I'm glad. Now, we're going to get in before we wrap up this hour again as to how this is politically damaging the Democrats. But before we do, I want to go back to something. The insensitivity of these Democrats, when they want you to believe we're all loving and kind and inclusive. What Nancy Pelosi said today and what some of the other Democrats are saying regarding the State of the Union address and some of the folks who were appearing and being honored. Shameful. Absolutely shameful.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round and get to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, at this moment, President Trump is delivering some additional remarks taking place right now in the East Room of the White House. We'll kind of monitor it and watch it for you. But Nancy Pelosi was also speaking to reporters earlier, and she basically insulted every guest the president had at the State of the Union address. That would include the fourth grader, young black girl who's now going to have a chance to go to any school of her choice. That would include the young man who wants to be an astronaut and his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, who's a Tuskegee Airman, who was also honored. That would include the family of a man killed by ISIS terrorists. It includes Rush Limbaugh, given the presidential Medal of Freedom. And she said, well, I don't know why he had all these people. Why do you invite all these people? This is the house. Lady, it's the people's house. It's the people's house. And I cannot even begin to list the folks that Obama had in each time for his State of the Union. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem taking some of the cases and highlighting them and maybe making a policy statement at the same time. But Nancy Pelosi, so despicable, denigrating everybody that was up there as a guest, and particularly Limbaugh. And, of course, that's the one they really want to hit on. Whoopi Goldberg today said, why did he give anything to Rush Limbaugh? Yes, he has stage 4 cancer. I'm sorry. I thought the Medal of Freedom was supposed to go to people who actually did stuff. I'm going to come back to that remark. Ocasio-Cortez smearing Limbaugh at the same time, saying he's a racist. It's truly nauseating to see him honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, saying it's an extraordinarily sacred award. And we're talking about giving someone that's award given on the same level as Rosa Parks. Let me remind you again of some of those who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award, and the president can make the decision to give it anyone he wants. You heard Whoopi say it should go to someone who's actually done something. Ocasio-Cortez say it's got to be somebody on the level of Rosa Parks. Barbara Streisand got one. I like her music, but what do you say, she's done anything like Rosa Parks? Nope. Let me see. Steven Spielberg? No. Kirk Douglas? No. I like him. John Wayne? Like him, but nope. Didn't match to that. Pearl Bailey? Ella Fitzgerald? Nope. They didn't do anything on the level of Rosa Parks. Neither one of them did something, as Whoopi Goldberg is saying. They did do something in their fields and contributing to our nation and our culture. That's the whole point of it. That's what Rush Limbaugh has done to the culture and talk radio. But they won't accept it for two reasons. One, because they hate Limbaugh and they hate Trump. And I haven't heard one of them while they're doing all this, and haven't heard one of these folks say, you know, Rush is in our prayers. Probably just as well, because they'd probably be lying and they'd be struck by lightning. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, James Carville will tell you why these Democrats that totally lost it, we're doing wacky doodle things, and we're going to lose everything, and Trump's going to win. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There's only one moral imperative in this country right now, and that is to beat Donald Trump. That's the only moral imperative. It's the only thing I want to hear. Until we understand that, we win every argument, Brian. We win an argument on anything. We don't win elections because we talk about stuff that is not relevant. We had a great experience in 2018, and the day after, we started all this goofy stuff. So hopefully we got time to jerk this thing back and be about health care and prescription drug prices and education and infrastructure and climate and diplomacy and rejuvenating, whatever it is. But this is not happening so far. And we can't act like this is going well. We can't come out and put three wonderful talking points. We need to, these campaigns have got to be more relevant. For God's sake, Senator Warren, get real out here and you know, let's move this thing along. And we got to do that.
I'm mocking James Carville. He's from Louisiana. I'm from Texas. I can mock him myself, too. But I'm doing it in a way that I like his accent. I'm having fun with it because I like it. But he's saying the truth for the Democrats, and they're not getting it, which is fine by me. James Carville got Bill Clinton into the White House. He knew how to strategize, make things relevant. And he's saying right now to his party, you're not doing anything relevant. He said, we did great in 2018 when we got control of the House, and look what you're doing now. In fact, in one quote, he said, I am scared to death for the Democrat Party at this point. He said, our only thing to do, the only thing that counts, is to defeat Donald Trump. And they just went through all of this effort, this impeachment, and prior to that, the the Russian collusion thing. Senator Mitch McConnell emphasizes what Carville is saying to the Democrats as to they thought they did well with this impeachment thing that's going to work for them, and they think if we continue to go after Trump on another impeachment charge, it's going to work. The words of Senator McConnell.
This is a political loser for them. They initiated it. They thought this was a great idea. And at least for the short term, it has been a colossal political mistake. This was a thoroughly political maneuver. If it was, it was stupid. It backfired. The president's got the best numbers he's had since he's been in office. My members who are in tough races are all looking at better numbers than they were before impeachment started. So if this was all about the November election, it seems to me we can conclude, at least in the short term here, this was a colossal political mistake.
Senator McConnell basically echoing what James Carville is trying to tell his party from the inside. Carville has endorsed Michael Bennett of Colorado. Doesn't stand a chance. Why? Because he's got all these wackadoodles running around in the party right now that are running crazy. And if you think Pelosi and Schumer are in charge, Senator Graham of South Carolina says they've got to be fooling themselves.
All I can say is that Senator Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are no longer in charge of this. Why did she tear up the speech, Nancy Pelosi? Who was her audience? It was the squad. She's lost control of the House. Senator Schumer is going to get primaried by AOC. These people used to could work with them. They've lost their mind when it comes to Trump. The president was acquitted. This was a ridiculous accusation against the presidency itself and to my colleagues who voted for conviction. I think you put the presidency at risk. I don't question your motives, but I sure question your judgment.
I'd question their motives as well, though. But again, you've got Senator McConnell. Senator McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and Senator Graham, both saying exactly what James Carville is. You guys on the left, you don't know what you're doing. And Pelosi and Schumer don't know. They're out to lunch. You want to know how bad it's getting? Bernie Sanders, this number just coming in, according to his campaign today, Bernie Sanders of Vermont raised $25 million in January. $25 million. Now, Michael Bloomberg has already been spending a lot of money, but he's cunning getting it out of his own pocket. And, of course, he got the DNC to restructure the Democrat debate so he can be on the stage later this month. They used to have a certain number of donations coming from individuals and peoples at a lower amount to qualify, to show that you really had support, you weren't trying to buy it. Bloomberg has come in and said, here's my bank account, I'm buying the election. I'm going to be on the stage. Carville knows that that's not going to work either. And then Buttigieg, do you care about the Iowa caucus anymore? Who cares? But just for those watching it, they still don't have all of the men yet. 97%, but still not all of them. And Pete Buttigieg apparently has a slight lead over Bernie Sanders. Does anyone care other than them? Not really. So they're still running around, hair on fire, trying to be as far left as possible, which Carville says you're not doing anything that's relevant to the American people. You're not. The other day in the State of the Union, the president stood there and talked about how our economy is booming, unemployment down, for women, for blacks, for Latinos, better numbers than ever. And every Democrat in the House listening sat on their butts. They wouldn't even stand to applaud the fact that more women got jobs last year than recently. They wouldn't stand to applaud that young black children or black teenagers now had a chance of getting a job better than before. Because that would give some credence to Donald Trump. They're not going to do it. By the way, speaking of Iowa, before I get away from you know what they're now trying to say is the problem? While the numbers were coming in late and all screwed up? You're going to love this. Let me ask you this first. Why did Hillary Clinton get beat? Was it because of Russian collusion? Or was it because Trump's a better candidate and she was a lousy candidate? I would give support and praise to Trump voters. Well, in the Iowa precincts, they are now saying, we found out what the problem is. It was Trump supporters. What? They're blaming Trump supporters for calling their hotlines in their Iowa Democrat precincts offices, tying them up, and so they couldn't get the information they needed. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like it. If they did, good. It's a stupid process they had anyway. But it still comes back to the point. These Democrats are not on the right track, which I could care less. It's fine by me. I mean, it's like watching that train derail, and I want to watch it over and over again. I want to back it up. I want to slow-mo it. I want to freeze frame it. And you've got House impeachment managers claiming that Trump and the Senate are permanently stained by this trial. James Carville is saying to his Democrat, I don't know if he'd call them colleagues now. Some of them are not on his side, obviously, not an AOC. And the others like that that are so far left. But he's telling them, you guys, you set this in motion, and the final result is you're not going to like it.
I'm just looking at the mega polling averages. I'm looking at public opinion right now. And frankly, we got to snap back and get this thing going, or I don't even think about what would happen if we had four more years of Trump. But this is so far not so good. That's my analysis. Well, like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right. We're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people.
I love it. Come on, people. You can't have people voting from jail cells and no border. That American public's not going to go for that. Well, there are some. Those lefties are. They're the same ones that will again look for a reason to reinitiate an impeachment effort against Trump. And Schumer, Senator Schumer, Democrat, has already said, yeah, there'll probably be something done between now and the election day. Carville also said, talking about Democrats, we've got to decide what we want to be. Do we want to be an ideological cult? Or do we want to have a majority instinct to be a majority party? What we need is power. You understand? That's what this is about. Without power, you have nothing. You just have talking points. He is a voice blowing in the wind for the Democrats. They're so hell-bent on destroying Trump in this presidency. They're absolutely lost, and I could not be happier. And I mentioned a moment ago that the president the other night in the State of the Union talked about all he's doing for minorities. He disenfranchised those considered not so privileged, and every Democrat continued to sit on their butt. Wait till you hear one big name inside the CNN and NN staff acknowledging that Trump is actually helping minorities. Oh, and Michael Bloomberg contacted me. I need to let you know about that. Please stand by. Oh, no. What? Where am I? Oh, I was early. Okay.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Heat that production. He got Walrus Gumbo. He got on no sideboard. He want Spinal Cracker. He got feet down below his knee. Hold you in his arms, yeah, you can feel his disease. Come together.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the other night in the State of the Union address, Tuesday, President Trump was talking about helping certain economic zones, depressed areas, helping lift them up, make them better, calling them opportunity zones and creating more economic achievements and opportunities for minority groups, lowering female and Asian unemployment, investing in poor areas of the country, and helping Hispanics and black Americans who were suffering. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Republican, I should not have to say this, but I'm going to say it just so you get a clear picture of this. He's an African-American, a black man, Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina. He said, when Trump starts talking about helping minority communities, we'll just listen.
Because of the president's support, we've seen almost $68 billion getting ready to be deployed throughout this nation in those 9,000 areas where the average poverty rate is almost 30%. Think about the fact that our average poverty rate is 12.5%. The president is focusing his laser on the most vulnerable people, and frankly, that makes the Democrats lose their minds. There's a meme with a brain that explodes. That's what happens when President Trump starts talking about bringing back more resources to the most vulnerable folks, when he starts talking about the lowest Hispanic unemployment rate, when he starts talking about the highest increase in wages came from the poorest Americans who are working. The story of the American comeback is a story that starts at the most vulnerable, fragile people in the economic on the economic ladder and moves up.
That is Senator Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina, a black man, saying that when President Trump talks about helping minority communities, Dems lose their minds, their brains explode. Oh, yeah, well, Larry, that's one of those sellouts. That's one of those fake blacks in the Republican Party. Maybe it's even a white person with a black face on. Maybe it's probably not even a real black American, right? You know who Van Jones is on CNN, NNN, a black man. And then Tuesday evening, talking about President Trump on his remarks, where he was talking about helping African-Americans specifically, Van Jones stated this. What the president was saying to African-Americans can be effective. You may not like it, but he mentioned historically black colleges and universities. That's right, Trump did mention that I helped protect and got more money to them. Anyway, Van Jones goes on to say, our black colleges have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones. He talked about school choice. In other words, Van Jones, CNN contributor, is warning fellow panelists and Democrats in general, President Trump is helping African Americans in real life. And, of course, reaching out for their vote in 2020. Well, you know what some of the Democrats were saying after that presentation the other day in his remarks? He's pandering to blacks. First of all, every politician panders to various groups to get their vote. That happens. That's part of it. But it can't just be lip service. You got to start doing something. And what this man said in running in 2016 to black Americans, you've been herded up, rounded up, driven to the polls by the Democrats, and they say every year we're going to make things better, and they take you back and drop you back at your urban plantation, your suburban urban plantation, and leave you there to do the best you can till the next election. He didn't say in those words, but I did. But that's what they've been doing. He said, why not give me a chance? What do you got to lose? 8% of black Americans voted for him. And we're seeing what he's doing for them. And Van Jones just said he's helping African Americans in real life. Didn't just give lip service. He's doing something. And yet they want to say he's pandering. Okay, I told you, Michael Bloomberg reached out to me the other day. I've got it saved on my phone. Friday at 8:20, Friday at 8:20. I don't know why I forgot to tell you this the other day. I mean, I was so excited. It reads, Larry, this is Joe from Mike Bloomberg 2020 asking for your support. Text 1 for yes, 2 for more info, 3 for no, and 4 to stop. www.mikebloomberg.com. I saved it. Michael Bloomberg, the 8th richest man in the world, reached out to me. He wants my support. I guess he wants my vote too. Does he need my money? It says here, text 1 for yes, that I'll support him. 2 for more info. 3 for no. 4 to stop. I haven't decided what I want to push yet. What button should I push? I'm totally lost. I'm going to have to think about it for a while. Hey, in the next hour, how Senator Romney is explaining what is unexplainable. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.